Old Testament reading is Judges chapter 4 and 5 as we continue in our Sunday evening series in Judges. The beginning of chapter 4 can be found on page 203 of the Pew Bible if you'd like to follow along there. Judges chapter 4, beginning in verse 1, this is God's holy, life-changing word. And the people of Israel again did what was evil in the sight of the Lord after Ehud died. And the Lord sold them into the hand of Jabin, king of Canaan, who reigned in Hazor. The commander of his army was Sisera, who lived in Harosheth Hagoyim. Then the people of Israel cried out to the Lord for help, for he had 900 chariots of iron, and he oppressed the people of Israel cruelly for 20 years. Now Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lapidoth, was judging Israel at that time. She used to sit under the palm of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in the hill country of Ephraim, and the people of Israel came up to her for judgment. She sent and summoned Barak, the son of Abinoam from Kadesh Naphtali, and said to him, "Has not the Lord, the God of Israel, commanded you, go, gather your men at Mount Tabor, taking 10,000 from the people of Naphtali and the people of Zebulun? And I will draw out Sisera, the general of Jabin's army, to meet you by the river Kishon with his chariots and his troops, and I will give him into your hand." Barak said to her, "If you will go with me, I will go. But if you will not go with me, I will not go." And she said, "I will surely go with you. Nevertheless, the road on which you are going will not lead to your glory, for the Lord will sell Sisera into the hand of a woman." Then Deborah arose and went with Barak to Kadesh. And Barak called out Zebulun and Naphtali to Kadesh, and 10,000 men went up at his heels, and Deborah went up with him. Now Heber the Kenite had separated from the Kenites, the descendants of Hobab, the father-in-law of Moses, and had pitched his tent as far away as the oak in Zaananim, which is near Kadesh. When Sisera was told that Barak, the son of Abinoam, had gone up to Mount Tabor, Sisera called out all his chariots, 900 chariots of iron, and all the men who were with him from Harosheth Hagoyim to the river Kishon. And Deborah said to Barak, "Up, for this is the day in which the Lord has given Sisera into your hand. Does not the Lord go out before you?" So Barak went down from Mount Tabor with 10,000 men following him. And the Lord routed Sisera and all his chariots and all his army before Barak by the edge of the sword. And Sisera got down from his chariot and fled away on foot. And Barak pursued the chariots and the army to Harosheth Hagoyim. And all the army of Sisera fell by the edge of the sword. Not a man was left. But Sisera fled away on foot to the tent of Jael, the wife of Heber the Kenite. For there was peace between Jabin, the king of Hazor, and the house of Heber the Kenite. And Jael came out to meet Sisera and said to him, "Turn aside, my lord, turn aside to me. Do not be afraid." So he turned aside to her into the tent, and she covered him with a rug. And he said to her, "Please give me a little water to drink, for I am thirsty." So she opened a skin of milk and gave him a drink and covered him. And he said to her, "Stand at the opening of the tent, and if any man comes and asks you, 'Is anyone here?' say no." But Jael, the wife of Heber, took a tent peg and took a hammer in her hand. Then she went softly to him and drove the peg into his temple until it went down into the ground while he was lying fast asleep from weariness. So he died. And behold, as Barak was pursuing Sisera, Jael went out to meet him and said to him, "Come, and I will show you the man whom you are seeking." So he went into her tent, and there lay Sisera dead with the tent peg in his temple. So on that day, God subdued Jabin, the king of Canaan, before the people of Israel, And the hand of the people of Israel pressed harder and harder against Jabin, the king of Canaan, until they destroyed Jabin, king of Canaan. Then sang Deborah and Barak, the son of Abinoam, on that day, that the leaders took the lead in Israel, that the people offered themselves willingly, bless the Lord. Hear, O kings, give ear, O princes, to the Lord I will sing. I will make melody to the Lord, the God of Israel. Lord, when you went out from Seir, when you marched from the region of Edom, the earth trembled and the heavens dropped. Yes, the clouds dropped water. The mountains quaked before the Lord, even Sinai before the Lord, the God of Israel. In the days of Shamgar, son of Anath, in the days of Jael, the highways were abandoned and travelers kept to the byways. The villagers ceased in Israel. They ceased to be until I arose. I, Deborah, arose as a mother in Israel. When new gods were chosen, then war was in the gates. Was shield or spear to be seen among 40,000 in Israel? My heart goes out to the commanders of Israel who offered themselves willingly among the people. Bless the Lord. Tell of it, you who ride on white donkeys, you who sit on rich carpets, you who walk by the way, to the sounds of musicians at the watering places there, they repeat the righteous triumphs of the Lord, the righteous triumphs of his villagers in Israel. Then go down to the gates, marched the people of the Lord. Awake, awake, Deborah, awake, awake, break out in a song. Arise, Barak, lead away your captives, O son of Abinoam. Then down marched the remnant of the noble. The people of the Lord marched down for me against the mighty. From Ephraim, their root, they marched down into the valley, following you, Benjamin, with your kinsmen. From Machir marched down the commanders, and from Zebulun, those who bear the lieutenant's staff. The princes of Issachar came with Deborah, and Issachar faithful to Barak. Into the valley they rushed at his heels. Among the clans of Reuben there were great searchings of heart. Why did you sit still among the sheepfolds to hear the whistling for the flocks? Among the clans of Reuben there were great searchings of heart. Gilead stayed beyond the Jordan, and Dan, why did he stay with the ships? Asher sat still at the coast of the sea, staying by his landing. Zebulun is a people who risked their lives to the death. Naphtali, too, on the heights of the field. The kings came. They fought. Then they fought the kings of Canaan and Taanach by the waters of Megiddo. They got no spoils of silver. From heaven the stars fought. From their courses they fought against Sisera. The torrent Kishon swept them away. The ancient torrent, the torrent Kishon, march on my soul with might. Then loud beat the horse's hoofs with the galloping of his steeds. Curse Meraz, says the angel of the Lord. Curse its inhabitants thoroughly, because they did not come to the help of the Lord, to the help of the Lord against the mighty. Most blessed of women be Jael, the wife of Heber the Kenite, of tent-dwelling women most blessed. He asked for water, and she gave him milk. She brought him curds in a noble's bowl. She sent her hand to the tent peg and her right hand to the workman's mallet. She struck Sisera. She crushed his head. She shattered and pierced his temple. Between her feet, he sank. He fell. He lay still. Between her feet, he sank, he fell. Where he sank, there he fell, dead. Out of the window she peered. The mother of Sisera wailed through the lattice. Why is his chariot so long in coming? Why tarry the hoofbeats of his chariots? Her wisest princesses answer, indeed, she answers herself, have they not found and divided the spoil? A womb or two for every man? Spoil of dyed materials for Sisera? Spoil of dyed materials embroidered? 2 pieces of dyed work embroidered for the neck as spoil? So may all your enemies perish, O Lord. But your friends be like the sun as he rises in his might. And the land had rest for 40 years. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Let's look to our God once again in prayer. Our gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for your holy word. And we pray that by the ministry of your Holy Spirit, you would help us to become more like your daughter, Deborah, faithful to your word, brave in the face of danger, and a servant of you and your people to the routing of your enemies and the advancement of your kingdom. Through Christ Jesus, the Savior of Saviors, we pray. Amen. Well, as we have seen in our study of Judges, God was faithful when his people were not. After the death of Joshua, God's people entered this cycle of sin against God, suffering the consequences of their sin, then crying out to God for mercy, and then experiencing God's gracious deliverance through a judge, a deliverer, a rescuer, a savior, whom he raised up to deliver them. As we saw last week, God raised up Othniel, then Ehud, and then Shamgar to give his people salvation, deliverance from their oppressors. And after a period of deliverance and rest, God's people wandered back into sin, intermarrying with unbelieving spouses, worshiping false gods, and otherwise turning their backs on the God who had repeatedly delivered them. So, to bring them back to their senses and back to himself, the Lord allowed them to be taken into slavery once again, this time to Jabin, the king of Canaan, who treated the people of Israel cruelly for 20 years. And once again, in the midst of that bondage, God's people cried out to the Lord for mercy. And once again, because he's a gracious God, because his steadfast love endures forever, God heard their cries and he answered them. He raised up another deliverer. This one's name was Deborah, which means bee. God's enemies definitely felt her sting. And God's people, undeserving though they were, tasted the sweet honey of peace and prosperity and victory, the promises of the promised land, because of her faithful, indefatigable labors on their behalf. She wore many hats: prophetess, wife, judge, and singer. But she called herself a mother. A mother raised up for Israel. She was the epitome of a faithful mother, one from whom all mothers and all of us can learn. So let's consider three lessons this faithful mother in Israel can teach us this evening. First, as a faithful mother, she spoke the truth. As a faithful mother, she spoke the truth. Deborah, as we read, was a prophetess, meaning she was a woman called and anointed by God to speak his truth for the welfare of his people. She was one of several prophetesses mentioned in the Old Testament. She is reminiscent of Miriam, isn't she? The sister of Moses, who was called a prophetess in Exodus 15, where she sang her song of redemption after the Lord delivered Israel from the hand of Pharaoh. In addition, there was the prophetess Huldah in 2 Kings 22. There was Isaiah's wife, called a prophetess, in Isaiah 8:3. I mean, talk about a prophetic power couple, Isaiah and his prophetess wife. There was Noadiah, a false prophetess. There were good prophetesses and bad prophetesses. Noadiah was a false prophetess and foe of Nehemiah, mentioned in Nehemiah 6:14. And of course, there are prophetesses mentioned in the New Testament as the old covenant was coming to an end and the new was being brought about, being ushered in through the incarnation and redemptive work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and then the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. There was Anna, the aged prophetess. We often speak about her during Advent or at Christmas. I mentioned in Luke chapter 2, she's the one who greeted the infant Jesus at the temple and who praised God for bringing salvation through him, and then went and told anyone she could about this great redemption that had been brought, that was being brought about through this child. And there were the four daughters of Philip who were prophetesses, as Luke tells us in Acts chapter 21. In the New Testament era, there are men who are especially called and set apart to the office, as we would put it, the office, or other traditions say the order of minister of word and sacrament, anointed by the Spirit in a special way to proclaim the good news of salvation in Jesus Christ, set apart by the Spirit and by the church to be stewards of the mysteries of God. Yet, as Peter proclaimed at Pentecost, quoting the prophet Joel, in the last days, and we're in those last days, it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, even on my male servants and female servants in those days, I will pour out my Spirit, and they all shall prophesy. So today, all believers are called to prophesy, meaning we are all called to know and love and believe and share in various ways, given our various gifts, but we're all called to know, believe, love, and share the good news of Jesus Christ, the truth that saves. And in that regard, we have a great example in Deborah, our sister in the faith, Deborah the prophetess. She knew the truth of God. She lived her life under the lordship of the God of Israel as he had revealed himself in his truth. She believed his truth and she applied his truth in her life and, as she was called to do, in the lives of others. Thus, people came to her as a judge to discern and decide their disputes, so much so that she had a tree named after her. How many of you have a tree named after you? She had a tree named after her, the Palm of Deborah. That's a testimony of the respect that the people of Israel gave her because of her integrity, her faithfulness to the truth of God. They respected her because she spoke the truth, unafraid of the consequences, unchanged based on the approval or disapproval of others. How we need to be buoyed up by her example today when, you know, basic truths, things that until like 5 minutes ago were held to basically be common sense, are under attack. We need to remember saints like Deborah and her unwavering commitment to God's revealed truth. She did so. She was this way in the office of a judge. Now back in Deuteronomy chapter 16, verses 18 through 20, God told Israel through Moses what kinds of judges they were to have when they entered the promised land. God said through Moses, you shall appoint judges and officers in all your towns that the Lord your God has given you according to your tribes, and they shall judge the people with righteous judgment. You shall not pervert justice. You shall not show partiality, And you shall not accept a bribe, for a bribe blinds the eyes of the wise and subverts the cause of the righteous. Justice, and only justice, you shall follow, that you may live and inherit the land that the Lord your God is giving you. Now, Deborah was that kind of judge for Israel. She followed the law. She executed justice with a reverential fear of the Lord rather than a slavish fear of others. And thus she was a mother for Israel, doing what was good for the children of Israel, nourishing Israel through the word of the Lord rather than leading Israel astray through compromise and corruption. As a faithful mother to the children of Israel, she spoke the truth for their good and God's glory. Second, as a faithful mother in Israel, she was brave. We've already touched on that, but she was brave. She didn't just speak the word when it was popular or to her own advantage. She spoke the word when it was potentially unpopular and costly. She spoke the truth most memorably to Barak. She was brave when Barak was not. God had commanded Barak to lead Israel into battle and overthrow their oppressors. But Barak had delayed. As many of the tribes of Israel had delayed rather than fight the good fight that the Lord had called them to fight. So Deborah bravely summoned Barak to do his duty. She asked, "Has not the Lord God of Israel commanded you?" Barak replied, "I will go only if you go, Deborah." Now, was Barak just a beta male? I mean, what's going on here? Perhaps, kind of acting that way. But remember that Deborah was a prophetess. And she has given him the word of God. And so he wants the word of God to be with him, revealing God's will for God's people as he goes into battle. Of course, Deborah agreed to go. Why? Because she was a brave mother for the children of Israel. That's what faithful mothers do. They do what's best for their children. So she went into battle for the sake of Israel and the Lord. She did, as faithful mothers do, what needed to be done for the sake of the children, even when men act like bumps on a log and do nothing. Deborah is a reminder to us. And depending on, you know, what circles we're in or, you know, in what orbit we are, we need to hear different things on this topic. But Deborah is a reminder to us that women are not called to be doormats. Now, I believe, as the church has traditionally believed, that men are called to lead in the home and in the church. Now, that's not popular today, but in the spirit of Deborah, I'm going to say it. Men are called to lead in the home and in the church. But that does not mean that women are called to be doormats. That view is just as wrong as the ultra-feminism that emasculates men and seeks to make them feel guilty simply for being men or acting like men. They're both wrong. They're both misconstructions of God's design for male and female. Deborah reminds us that women are called to speak the truth in love to men, to the men in their lives, not to tear them down, but to build up those men and inspire them to lead, as Deborah inspired Barak to lead through her encouraging words
to him. Remember what the word encourage means. It means to infuse courage. Deborah's words to Barak encouraged him to step out and lead. She didn't say, come on, Barak, I'm going to lead the army. No, she spoke to him encouraging words that inspired him to lead. Women are called to follow the truth, even if the men around them refuse to do so, for their own good, the good of society, and the good of children entrusted to their care. That was the spirit of Deborah. As a faithful mother in Israel, Deborah spoke the truth. She was brave. And third, she didn't care who got the credit other than God himself. Of course, Ronald Reagan used to say, it's amazing what you can accomplish if you don't care who gets the credit. Deborah was like that. Faithful mothers are like that, aren't they? They inspire us to be selfless, self-forgetful, helping others succeed and prosper. In her song, she highlighted the efforts of others. She mentions her own part. She's going to be faithful to God's redemptive purposes through her. She mentions her own part in God's salvation. She ultimately, though, put the spotlight on others, including the leaders, the ones who had been lagging behind. Once they got themselves in gear, she praises them, she honors them, she blesses the Lord because of them for their valiant efforts. The leaders, the laymen, the rich, and the poor, all who came together to fight for the cause of Israel and Israel's God. She highlights their faithfulness. But most of all, she put the spotlight on another woman, a woman named Jael. She said in verse 24 of chapter 5 in her song, or her canticle of praise, she said, most blessed of women be Jael, not Deborah, but Jael, for her heroism and bravery and deliverance of Israel. By the way, back before I went to seminary, I taught Bible and coached tennis at a Christian school. And I had in one of my classes a young lady named Jael. I always gave her straight A's, no questions asked. I also taught Evander Holyfield's children. Same thing. Straight A's, no questions asked. They were all wonderful people. But seriously, in her great song of deliverance, Deborah credited Jael. That's humility. That's selflessness. And in our New Testament reading, who is mentioned there in the Hall of Faith? Did you not find that a little bit curious? It wasn't Deborah, but rather Barak. We might say, now wait a minute, this must be a scribal error. This can't be the way it was originally inspired. Surely Deborah should have been mentioned rather than Barak. But here's the thing. Deborah would not have minded. She, like all faithful mothers, wasn't in it for the credit. Though we should give them credit. We should honor them. Go above and beyond to honor them. But she wasn't in it for the credit. She was in it for the good of the children and the glory of God. Thus her life, like her song, was a melody to the Lord, the God of Israel. May we all follow in her footsteps, speaking God's truth, loving it, believing it, speaking it. Being brave for him, trusting in his salvation, forgetful of self, desiring only the good of others and the glory of God. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.